Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, Mike, now I got people coming at me on the Twitter. Guys like Ty saying, at Mike Bell, ATL is absolutely right. LSU should be number one, Dukes. I don't know what you're talking about. You guys are playing these middle school teams. I'm not an Ohio State guy. I'm just telling you they should be number one.
You're just trying to get a rise out of me. I know how you do this.
I am not, Mike. I am simply telling you what the committee, and I knew where the committee was going with this. Ohio State has been in command of every football game this season. They have had game control. They've blown out opponents, and they humiliated Wisconsin, who at the time was the number one defense in the country. Rush defense. Ohio State has done everything they needed to do to be number one right now.
My counter-argument, as I said going to break, LSU's got wins over three top ten opponents. Now, no matter where they are now, it's when you play them. Three top ten opponents. Because Texas, obviously, unfortunately, your Longhorns have fallen off the rails.
Yes, they have. But it doesn't look good now.
But you're out of, I mean, other than Miss State, Northwest, I mean, other than Wisconsin, you know, you got a Michigan State team, which is going nowhere.
That's a tough game.
Northwestern, Nebraska's horrible, and then all your out-of-conference dog crap.
Okay, but let me say this, and to your point about playing them now, all right, and you guys can chime in as well, 404-741-0929. You want to hit us up. We'll get to an NFL blitz coming up here. But everybody's talking about the college football playoff rankings, and rightfully so, because it sets you up potentially down the road. If Ohio State makes it to the playoffs, and I think they will, understand this, they will have beaten a ranked Penn State, a ranked Wisconsin, they've already done that, a ranked Michigan on the way, a ranked Minnesota, and a ranked Cincinnati team. You can't discount that and say, okay, they've not played anybody. To your point, it's not happened on the schedule with some of those games, but as you look at the body of work, and I think the committee is looking at what they've done and said, if they continue to handle their business, this is a lock. I mean, and again, if it's all about being number one, I think if LSU beats Bama next week, they slide up.
But again, it goes back to how do we perceive this? I mean, based on what you've done so far, LSU should be one. Now, by the end of the regular season, Ohio State could be number one. But you've given Ohio State an advantage. Whether or not you'll drop them or move them around, we don't know. Not sure how the parameters are going to work in that meeting room. But Alabama, a one-loss Bama, is going to get in. The Big 12 and the Pac-12 got problems right now because whoever their champion is going to have at least one loss.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon is starting to get more traction.
Well, unless Baylor runs the table.
And that's the other one. Now, can Baylor, they got to beat Oklahoma twice.
Yes.
You know, they'd have to beat Oklahoma regular season, and they're going to play them again in that. Remember, they play round robin, then the best 1-2 play in the championship. It's hard to see that going down, but we'll see. Baylor got a squeaker against West Virginia. And by the way, Clemson. We knew this going in, guys. You got a really weak schedule. It's not your fault, but
Say that again.
A really weak schedule for Clemson.
Because that's the part.
And I'm not arguing them at five. And, well, you got a near loss because Mac Brown, they couldn't execute the two-point conversion. You might have a one loss, you'd be on the outside looking in totally.
But that's the game control thing we're talking about. If you're supposed to be the defending national champion as dominant as everybody says you are, North Carolina's not in that game. And that's the issue, like, with Clemson. I'm not telling you they're not good. They're really good. And as a matter of fact, they may be back in the championship game. But, Mike, you're right. The strength of schedule does not help them, and the ACC is weak sauce.
But this is where it gets interesting. And, again, why do they do what they do? Again, I think they're messing with us with this thing just to get the conversation going because you, me, the guys on every television network.
No, they're right. They're right on this.
Other sports talk stations
they're
are going
absolutely
nuts.
Right on this. I couldn't have said it better myself. Wait, yes. I think I did 2 days ago.
I said that I thought I was under the impression it was about strength of schedule. But again, game control. Wow, when you beat the crucible of, like, you know, Miami of Ohio and FAU Ohio State, you really are rolling it.
You do realize if you're Ohio State, you get everybody's best game.
Okay. Look.
You realize that.
But here's the real, and also, you know, that everything else is all supposition, but here's something we can actually throw out there. Penn State's got good strength to schedule. Ohio State, you just laid it out. What if Ohio State loses the conference championship, has one loss? Does that trump, based on that strength of schedule you just touched on, an undefeated Clemson? This is where people are going to lose their minds. Could you have a one-loss Penn State or Ohio State?
Yes.
Let's say Clemson. What's the biggest thing on Clemson right now? Ooh, Wake Forest, yippee-ki-yay. And then you're going to play somebody crap in another horrible ACC championship game.
Come on, this Syracuse, is where this, Pitt, but Tech, Miami.
This is where
blah blah blah.
If I'm a Clemson fan, I'm a little bit nervous about this.
You should be, and that's why they are perfectly where they need to be. What are they, five? Right?
They are number five.
That's where they need to be.
Cinco.
That's where they need to be.
Now, as far as the Dogs, we'll talk more about that in an hour with the Dog Report. They're exactly where they should be at six, and all they can do is, you guys know, they went out, they're in. Because they'll be SEC champion, they'll be a one-loss SEC champ, they're in. That's, so there's nothing to worry about other than just handle your business.
SEC's in. I'm not sure if the ACC's in.
Clemson fans.
I'm not sure. Mike, I'm not sure.
But this is where, Carl, you're making the argument. Ohio State and Penn State schedules are 10 times better than Clemson's. And if they have one loss, will that trump a defending national champion
means
undefeated?
Nothing. Means nothing. Well, then you know what? What did you make last year? What was your salary? It means nothing. What are you making right now? Yeah. Am I right in there? Whatever you're making right now, it doesn't matter what you made last year. All you care about is what your W-2 is going to look like this year. Last year means nothing.
Well, here's the deal, pal. If you screw an undefeated defending national champion out of the Final Four playoffs, guess what?
What?
You're going to have a new playoff, and it will be expanded field because all hell will break loose.
Oh, come on. We've been saying this forever. Oh, they better
It's not all worked out. They better not leave this team out.
The
closest they came to leaving a team out was the year that a one-loss TCU got trumped by a bad Florida State undefeated defending champion.
Yeah, but nobody wanted TCU in, and they didn't have the cachet.
But they rolled their bowl game. Florida State got smoked by Oregon, which kind of validated TCU might have should have been there.
If I'm Clemson, I'm nervous.
Me too. And this is not radio hype. We just laid the arguments
out for you. I'm telling you right now. That's why the committee did what they did, and the committee is absolutely right. More on this coming up. Let's get to an NFL blitz.
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
By the way, from the Peanut Gallery, Squidbilly reminds us that it's a round robin over there in the Big Ten. At least the teams that are all ranked, they're all going to play each other, so don't sweat it. They will cannibalize each other in the Big Ten. We shall see.
No, they won't. All right, man, let's talk about what's going on. First of all, Falcons back on the field. I just saw a picture from D. Orlando Ledbetter. Raheem Morris working with the DBs, Mike. And again,
what an idea. He's a DB coach.
He's not being funny. He's simply saying, with the coaching changes, you're seeing how this is going to work. And he's out there on the field. We also saw a picture of Chris Lindstrom walking around. Matt Ryan is out there. We don't have excuses. And what I mean by that is Keanu Neal's been out. That whole excuse has been blown, all right? You can't bring that up now 7-8 weeks into the season. But as far as Lindstrom, he is potentially due back next week against Carolina. So, you know, again, offensive line is going to be something that's going to be focused on. I told you guys I went on to New Orleans today, and they're all talking about how many sacks they're going to have against Matt Ryan this week. So, Mike, I hope we've got a plan for protection.
Well, don't forget, guys, they got Drew Brees healthy. Alvin Kamara has been nursing an injury, but are we going to be able to get Kamara on the ground? You know, and then you talk about, you know, the wide receivers, all the weapons, when they throw Taysom Hill out there. I mean,
I don't like him, by the way.
Well, I mean, these are the weapons that Sean Payton has amassed, and we've got to be able to find them, find a way to stop him. We've got the worst defense in the league.
Yeah, I don't like him because he's a star. Every time he gets in, he's running over somebody.
But Matt has had some of his career games against the Saints. You know, we put up big. Like, we've all scored big points against this team. I think combined they got 80 touchdowns between them, Drew Brees and Matt Ryan, in this rivalry. So, but I mean, the one thing we got going for us, if it becomes a dial a score. I mean, that's probably the only way we're going to win this is we get a couple turnovers from the Saints. That's the only way we got a chance to win this football game.
All right, I want you to hear Dan Quinn. By the way, what's the situation on Desmond Trufant? Is he going to be back? Here's what the coach said.
In the same space, he'll also take some reps today. Another one that, you know, looked good, really good running on Monday. And so we're hopeful for him. We'll take it through the whole week of practice. But, you know, he's able to full speed cut and all the things that you need to do playing outside when you are. But it's good to be at him and Matt. Back on the field today and leading up into the weekend.
And that's what I'm saying. I mean, we don't have any excuses. Truth should be back. Matt should be back. O-line is what it is.
Isaiah
Freeze fine.
But Isaiah Oliver looking for mismatches. We saw Seattle try to pick on Isaiah Oliver, and for the most part, he handled his business. But then, you know, there were some plays given up. Sheffield, we've talked about. Sheffield is really still learning on the job. So these are the kind of the mismatches you're going to try to exploit. And then, of course, all this would be great if we actually got pressure from the down lineman, Tack and Vic, but I think most of us have all given up all hope on that.
All right. NFL Blitz is brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Eagles put Jackson on IR, Mike.
Yeah, DeSean Jackson shut down with a core injury.
And correct me if I'm wrong, didn't he get hurt in Tampa too?
He was banged up a little bit. They never really knew. I mean, he kind of, you could argue, kind of part of the things that happened with Mike Evans and trying to force the ball to him kind of screwed up. Well, Jameis was screwing things up anyway, but he certainly looked like the home run ball for the Eagles, but now banged up again. So he done. I think they brought in Jordan Crawford.
Yeah, Titans placed cornerback Malcolm Butler on injury reserve Tuesday. They resigned, Ty Smith to Butler's spot for the 53-man roster. So you're seeing this around the league, guys going on IR. Cam yesterday, done for the season. If you're going on IR now, there's no more NFL for you this season. Meanwhile, let's talk about what we were getting into yesterday with San Diego. By the way, the video was hilarious. The Chargers' response to them going to L.A. Dean Spanos was basically saying, I'm not going anywhere. Anthony Lynn was asked if this is a distraction with people talking about his team moving to London.
I just found out about the story last night. I mean, I don't think there's anything to it. Well, I know there's not anything to it. We're not going to let it be a distraction for us. We got a job to go do Thursday night, and that's what we're getting prepared for.
And again, it's erroneous. I mean, the problem is because the Rams are the show, and the they're an orphan. The Chargers are orphans. There are a few thousand people. I got a buddy of mine, Dale, that will drive up to L.A. to watch him, who grew up a San Diego Charger fan, but they're not selling PSLs. They're not selling season tickets. And so it's going to.
Why would you buy a PSL for them?
Well, and the prices on the PSLs are unbelievably cheap, too, because they've had to. You know, and if you watch when they play over there at the where the Galaxy play in Carson, California, it's a home game for the Steelers. It'll be a home game for the Raiders. Imagine being a Charger these couple of years. It's kind of about as weird as when the Yankees were playing at Shea Stadium when they were building the Meadowlands. You just feel like an absent, you know, you're just an absent. You're not the landlord. You're just renting, and you don't feel very comfortable. Your landlord's a real SOB. They're even playing the Steelers fight songs. That's got to be a weird vibe, man, in your own building.
Yeah. I'm not going anywhere. The words of the owner, Dean Spanos.
You know, if you're a billionaire, you know, they couldn't, and we've got friends, we said yesterday in San Diego, they couldn't find a way to get the stadium built. So that's all they could do. Hey, man, Bill Polian drew a lot of heat. We talked about it when it was going down about Lamar Jackson. He admits now, Carl, that he was wrong when he made the comments about Lamar Jackson. Certainly, he said, I used the old traditional quarterback standard with him, which is clearly why Harbaugh and Ozzie Newsome were more prescient than I was. Remember, Lamar Jackson, not the greatest conversationalist, so what? Steve Young can't put a sentence together. I see him on TV every week. Who cares? Just win, baby, and they got a guy. And Lamar Jackson, when you look at Sam Darnold and you look at some of these other knuckleheads, Josh Rosen's going to be out of football in another year or two. Lamar was the play, but you had to have the commitment, Carl, that the Ravens had to build it around him.
And I think he's going to be special. And I know it's early, and I know we're all wild right now. But I think not only does he have the it factor, you saw that at Louisville, though, right? I mean, he had the it factor there. The thing was, could he play professional quarterback? That was the thing. So you wondered if he could throw it into the windows, the small windows, and make the reads. Here's the deal, though. They've tailored that offense around him, to Mike's point. This is what smart coaches do, is when you have players, you tailor the offense around those guys to make plays. You don't just run the same old stuff that you've been running for 20 years because – it's your stuff.
Right. You tailor to your Jims and Joes. You adjust those X's and O's. So who would you rather have? Baker Mayfield, who everybody hates now, half the guys in his own locker room on stories out of the Cleveland playing dealer, or what Lamar is getting universal love from everybody there in Baltimore?
It's about leadership, man. It's about leadership.
The kid's got the it factor. And, again, it was non-traditional, but so what? A.J. Green, by the way, now at the open portion of Bengals practice, he's been talked about, why didn't you trade me out of here, too, along with Andy Dalton?
Yeah.
He's supposed to be healthy enough to play this week.
But I want to address that real quick, Mike. It's our NFL blitz. You just said it's not traditional. What is? The NFL is moving in a direction where there is no traditional. If it works, it works. The Kyler Murray thing was being discussed like they're crazy, they're dumb, they're stupid. And whether you like Cliff Kingsbury or not, he knew what he wanted to do, and he knew this guy could do it.
Oh, look, I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just telling you, the Bill Polians and the old farts of the world who said, oh, my God, he's a quarter inch too short to play quarterback. When you're dealing with that kind of stupidity, what do you expect, right?
But, yeah.
There are guys out there that are able to make these big, aggressive moves, and Kyler Murray made us look like a bunch of chumps.
But that's the thing.
The kid's got it.
That's the thing. The whole tradition. What's traditional? Again, and by the way, Mitchell Trubisky was supposed to be a traditional pick.
Yeah, because he's the typical, prototypical, tall, big arm quarterback. And guess what? He's a bust. He's a bust. They don't even trust him to move the ball 5 yards for a field goal late in the game. How about that?
Yeah. Well, listen, I'd rather go non-traditional and go get a guy that can play than, oh, he fits the mode of whatever the mode is. It's Dukes and Bell. Jerry Jones was asked about the Cowboys. Do they have a chance to get there? And I don't know if they do. Mike, we talked about this after the Monday night win against the Giants. Here's Jarrah.
I'll assure you that every individual out there certainly as a position group, every position group, they're going to be working on focus, because everybody on this team knows that we've got a good team.
Okay.
Focus.
We're going to find a way to maximize our talents. Anyway, you got Michael Bennett. He got some heat on the quarterback. But you and I said it. Do they pass the eye test? You believe the Cowboys can go toe-to-toe with the 49ers?
No.
This year?
Now
the
49ers. I'll assure you.
Now the 49ers, though, Carl, everybody's now in love with. They're like last year's Rams. They've got to prove they can handle the heat in the postseason.
Yes.
But they've got a great defense that gets after the quarterback. Right now, San Fran, the number one seed in the NFC. The Vikings would be the final wild card right now.
I just think Seattle's dangerous, man. That's the team I would want to play. It's our NFL Blitz, brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Hey, we're going to get back into some more college football conversation. Guy just hit us up, said, fellas, I'm worried. What if Georgia and LSU meet in the SEC title game? I'll read the rest when we come back. We're talking college football and plenty of it today. Mike, the tweeter, Soul Edge, that's his Twitter handle. He says, guys, I'm worried because if by chance Georgia and LSU meet in the SEC title game, right. Georgia wins. I'm worried about the committee putting in LSU over a conference champ that may have one loss like a Pac-12 champion. Is that a legitimate concern?
Nah, I mean, if you had to put a gun to my head, and please don't, I would say, Carl, it would be the winner of the SEC championship, the winner of the Alabama. I guess you could argue that even the loser of Alabama LSU's got a chance based on what we saw Alabama do in 17 when Georgia and Auburn played for the championship. It's just a matter of, does Oregon's strength of schedule and Utah's strength of schedule build up to the point when they knock off each other in the Pac-12 championship that those guys really respect that and give it the juice? Nobody on this side of the Mississippi respects the Pac-12. Big 12 is kind of, you know, it is what it is. It doesn't pass the eye test, aside from Oklahoma. So, I mean, I don't worry about it.
And Baylor.
But again, they got, you know, Baylor's got to play in the championship game. They got to, I mean, I don't know nothing about Baylor. I saw them eke it out against West Virginia. What has Baylor got? What are they doing over there?
They're doing something. Let's bring in a guy who knows. Bruce Feldman, you follow him, guys, on Fox Sports, FS1. He writes about college football, does a terrific job. We wanted to pick his brain on this. By the way, you agree with my partner? Do people just disrespect the Pac-12?
To a large degree, yeah. I mean, look, if you see Utah play in person, I think you might look at them differently. They're really physical on both sides of the ball, and Zach Moss is a terrific running back. But the reality is that their next three games are going to be against teams that are under 500 in the Pac-12. So they're not going to get much of a boost off of that. They certainly need Oregon. Both teams need each other to be undefeated in that Pac-12 title game. And then, I mean, I think they have a chance. They're going to need some help, though. I think just to pick up on what you said before I came on, if Alabama loses this game at home to LSU and they're 11-1 and they're not in the SEC title game, I'm not sure that they're going to get in because they're getting a lot of the benefit of the doubt now from the committee. If they lose at home to LSU, then the non-conference schedule is not good. I mean, it's Duke and a bunch of other not good teams.
Right.
And so whatever eyeball test they're going to have, 2 out of 100% or not, I think is not a great situation for them. I don't think they have that much margin for error because the reality is if they lose to LSU at home, their best win is going to be at best a 9-3 Auburn team. After that, it's not much. So if I was an Alabama fan, I wouldn't feel that confident that the committee would take care of us if we're 11-1.
It's a great point because, you know, they had their schedule in 17, the year that they did not make it to the SEC championship when Auburn played Georgia. Bruce Feldman's with us, guys. He is a New York Times bestselling author. See him on Fox Sports FS1 and at Bruce Feldman CFB to check out what he's got going on. Bruce, Clemson fans are freaking out right now, but much like Florida State in 14, not really passing the eye test, but an undefeated Clemson team that wins the ACC, there's no way they'd be on the way outside looking in, right?
No, I don't think so. But, you know, the ACC is horrible this year, and that's not helping Clemson. I mean, in one sense, you can't fault Clemson's non-conference schedule when they play two SEC teams. I mean, they do have a win. They would have a win over a mediocre South Carolina team, who, by the way, went into Athens, ended up with a third-string quarterback, and beat Georgia.
Right.
So, and then, you know, Texas A&M, I give them credit for at least scheduling that game. what's hurt them and why I think they're not in the top four right now is because they played a very mediocre North Carolina team and barely survived that game. Whereas Ohio State has pummeled everybody they've played. If you have a very suspect schedule, handily, you can afford to, like, be really shaky. But, if, you know, I don't think they have margin for error. If they lose somewhere along the way, I don't see that they're going to – their 12-1 is going to look worse than everybody else's just because of how mediocre and how bad the ACC is right now. I mean, Wake Forest is the best team they're going to see, and I don't think the committee is going to be wowed by Wake Forest.
Bruce, let's talk about the Big 12 real quick. And Mike was just making fun about Baylor don't know what they are. Listen, it's a big hypothetical. I don't think they run the table, but let's say they do. And let's say they remain the only unbeaten team and they beat Oklahoma twice, okay? Are they in?
Probably. You know, we got to see it from them. Right now they're 12. Like, if they beat Oklahoma twice, then also we're looking at an Oklahoma team that's 9-3.
That's right.
Mm. It's a good win, but it's not a great win. And so I don't know. I mean, I think 13-0 Clemson is much different than 13-0 Baylor just because they are going to get the benefit of the doubt. When the committee falls back to their default, it's like the eyeball test. I think it's a harder sell for the eyeball test with Baylor. People saying, oh, you really won a bad Big 12 this year. Whereas, okay, Clemson, you won a bad big ACC this year, but it's still Clemson. We've seen that before. We haven't seen it from Baylor, and that's not fair necessarily, but that's reality, I think. So I think 13-0 would be good enough, but I'm not convinced of it.
It's a Bruce Feldman with us, guys, from FS1, breaking down the college football playoff rankings. First one's debut last night. Penn State's got a really tough bunch of games, including Minnesota, a good Indiana team that may be ranked. And then, of course, a big matchup. They got to go to the Horseshoe to take on the Buckeyes. So Penn State, at some point, the Big Ten's two big dogs are going to cannibalize each other. Ohio State most likely going to beat Michigan. So Ohio State, you're number one all the way through, the number one seed?
They keep rolling. I mean, they've been dominant. I think what's different about this team under Ryan Day than the really talented teams that Urban Meyer had in the last few years is they are way more focused. They're playing a lot faster. I think they're playing a lot, just a lot more energy. Whereas in the last few years, especially last year with all the Zach Smith drama and Urban's health issues kind of hovering around the team, I think they've simplified things. I think they're playing faster. I think I see them feeding off of Chase Young's energy. I mean, I did one of their games, and you could see it from warm-ups right throughout. You know, I'm on the sidelines seeing it. It's different. Now, I have more confidence in Ohio State than I do in anybody from what I've seen. But you know what? I wouldn't have expected them to get blown out at Purdue or blown out at Iowa like they did the past few years. So we got to see it. I mean, you're still talking about 18, 19, 20-year-old college kids. Consistency is a big issue with them, and we'll see if they can, you know, Ryan Day can keep it going.
It is Bruce Feldman, guys, talking college football playoff rankings that came out last night. Obviously, you know, when you talk about what's going on with Georgia, and we got to ask you about the Dogs because it's a big win against Florida, but they got work to do. And, you know, you can't overlook Mizzou, which I think they win this week, but Auburn on the road and then Texas A&M coming in here maybe to play spoiler to try to knock off, you know, Georgia before they get to the SEC championship. You've got the Dogs winning out and playing whom in the SEC championship?
Right now, I think it's going to be LSU. I mean, just the way that the confidence they're playing with Joe Burrow, as hot as he's been, I think that's the matchup that I'm looking at. I mean, I still think Georgia's the most talented team in the East, and I think they'll hold serve the rest of the way through.
Now, as far as the Pac-12 we talked about, this is a conference that, you know, let's be honest, they started off with a bunch of losses, but Oregon, they did lose to an SEC team in a neutral site, and it came down to the final throw. How weird is it, though, when the guy who's kind of the face of this is the Oregon athletic director? Would you have to explain the playoff rankings?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think it's going to be super awkward to have that. And that's no fault of Rob Mullins. It's just the way – I'm almost surprised we haven't had this scenario yet. But now it looks like we may have it, and I think it's going to be a tough spot for the committee to kind of, because a lot of people already have this like conspiracy theory vibe out there. It's not going to help them to have this in the middle of it.
No, I agree. And by the way, who's your coach of the year right now? Who's done the best job?
You know, at this point, I would say Matt Rhule, given how much of a complete dumpster fire that Baylor program was,
right.
And it was ugly and everything around it. Just it's off the field issues, how he has been the face of a program that needed so much positive energy, and I think he's brought that, and obviously he's done it on the field. To me, right now, he's the leader for that.
Hey, Bruce, before we cut you loose, got about a minute left. Florida State, obviously they had to move on from Taggart. It was just untenable. But the Bob Stoops thing, that is pie in the sky, or where do you see Florida State going? They've got a lot of strangeness going on with the administration and the athletic department.
Yeah, as I reported this week, I don't doubt that some Florida State boosters would chase Bob Stoops. From the people I've talked to who are close to him, they didn't think he's turned down other good jobs. And this one has a lot of dysfunction attached to it in the leadership dynamic. Whereas when you're talking about he worked for probably the best AD in college athletics in Joe Castiglione. I don't think you leave that behind and say, hey, I'm going to jump into it. So much uncertainty at Florida State. To me, that doesn't seem like an ideal situation. I think they're more likely to go pursue Mark Stoops and end up with him
right.
than they are to get Bob Stoops.
Agreed. Great stuff. Bruce, continue the good work, man. We'll read your stuff, and we're excited about where this college football season is going. Check him out, guys. Fox Sports, FS1, Bruce Feldman. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Cool beans. We got Mike Conte ready to roll with some in case you missed it. You and I were talking about what we're going to get into with Mike. I'd be curious to see what some of the guys that are listening and gals feel about this. You ever been to the Peach Drop for New Year's Eve downtown?
Yeah, the whole, you know, it's like the Big Apple in New York, but it's the Peach.
Yes, with just, you know, 2 million less people. But anyway, Carl, they're talking about moving on. They're not going to do it this year. The mayor was talking about it. They're going to kind of hit the reset and come up with a plan. I got a poll question up because we're going to ask Mike Conte about it. Do you want to see them reinvent this thing or let it die? Go to Mike Bell ATL and vote on the old Peach Drop.
Soul's Edge, thanks for tweeting at us. You bring us our Mimecast tweet of the day, our message of the day in regards to college football. And you want to tweet at us, you can. Mike Bell ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up C Dukes. Mimecast, guys, is a global cloud cybersecurity provider. Protect your business email from cyber attacks with cloud solutions from Mimecast. Go there at Mimecast.com. Today, it's Mimecast.com.
Pretty busy.
Oh, busy.
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
Have I got good news for you.
Brought to you by Resurgence Orthopedics. From neck to toes, muscle to bones, get moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics. Schedule your appointment online today at resurgence.com.
More about the Ohio State being ranked number one coming up as part of our dog report. And also, we'll get you caught up on the latest of what Kirby has to say about their matchup with Mizzou. It's on the way, guys. And a Falcon player at 420. Who? Stay tuned. Mike Conte, in case you missed it. What's going on, Mike?
A little down today, a little blue. Not going to lie. Because, you know, the holidays are coming. And, you know, I lean pretty hard on traditions to get me through the holidays. It's I don't have kids or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, traditions are important. Like the big Thanksgiving dinner that we have. Every Thanksgiving at 2 in the afternoon, then we watch football. Big part of the holiday tradition for my family. Christmas morning, you know, we wear pajamas and all that. And I feel like a big part of my holiday tradition is being ripped away from me because the very beloved Peach Drop in downtown Atlanta is being taken away from me this year, guys.
They're doing away with it?
Yeah.
They're in the timeout at least for a year, yeah, according to the mayor.
Yeah. I'm still trying to process the news myself.
I read it in the AJC, and I was also stymied you are, Mike, but you've taken this hard.
Laughing basically helps dry the tears away a little bit because I'm just so devastated about this. I have to tell you, the Peach Drop is one of those things. When I moved to Atlanta, 15 years ago or something like that, I was told by many locals, you probably want to lay low on that one, not... you might want to sit out the peach drop. There's lots of other things on New Year's Eve that you can do. You can go to Buckhead. You can go to the Peach Bowl. You can stay home and drink champagne. The peach drop, I want to stay away from that one. So I've never actually done the peach drop. Whew. And judging by this year's postponement, it sounds like many other people aren't doing it either. But I guess there's an issue with who owns Underground Atlanta now. It's not the city. The city was having the peach drop at Underground Atlanta. So the mayor has left the door open, thank God, for future peach drops. But there will be no peach drop this year, I'm sad to say.
Wow. I did it once, and I caught the tail end. We actually just got there to the people hanging, because that was the year that Georgia played Virginia. It was Jim Donnan. And they play those games. It would go up till around midnight. He'd walk out of the stadium, and you'd have the peach drop going down.
But it's just part of New Year's in Atlanta. You know, as much a part of Atlanta as Coca-Cola and Stone Mountain and Waffle House and all the great traditions that we have in this town.
But again, anything involved with Underground Atlanta has kind of a bit of a stigma attached to it, Carl.
And now here's the thing.
They moved it to Woodruff Park last year for
which is
a
basically still it's Underground street, Atlanta, right?
It is.
I mean, it's right there.
Let me ask you this. It's in case you missed it, Mike Conti revealing the news that the peach drop won't happen this year.
To be fair, Channel 2 broke this story, and in so doing, broke my heart.
I understand.
I'm just processing because my grief with you
I'm asking the listeners, by the way, 300 respondents, go to Mike Bell ATL, Atlanta's New Year's Eve peach drop. Reinvent it or let it die.
Yeah.
Let It Die's got 54% of the vote right.
Okay.
Well, so not a slam dunk.
Yeah, I think there is a way to reinvent it, but it has to be creative and it's got to be somewhere else.
But in all seriousness, you can turn anything, Carl. Like MLS, we talk about the championship and everything else we're involved with United. It's as big as you make it. It's as big as you pump it up. If you want to get really big name acts and turn this into something that draws people from all over the Southeast at Centennial Olympic Park or do it in Mercedes-Benz, that you got to get the city on board and come up with a plan. Because I got to be honest, the last couple of years, it's a waste of everyone's time. It's a joke. I'm with Mike Conti.
All right, let me ask you this though, for people that may be new to Atlanta, because for years, my dad's from here. We'd come and visit, and at one point, Underground Atlanta was a spot to go. It was somewhere to go hang out or at least go check out. What happened? Because people ask all the time. What happened to Underground? People still think it's a thing, and it's not a thing.
Mike, I got here in 98, and I remember when the Super Bowl was here, when the Rams played the Titans. We were down there doing shows down there on the radio, and there were still things going on. There were arrests. Either the crime, either one begets the other. Empty stores, and people stopped showing up. But it was the day I did jury duty, I walked around. I had 2 hours to kill, and I did basically circumnavigated around. It's empty stores, empty storefronts, just nothing. There's nothing going on.
It's like a mall that used to be now.
Exactly. It's like an empty, there's just nothing above ground, nothing below ground of worth, of value. Apologize to shop owners down there, Mike. That's why we've always said put a casino because you can't ruin the neighborhood.
There is a relatively easy, low-cost solution to getting Underground Atlanta to become a destination. And then you get the peach drop of all peach drops if you grant a casino license down there and it's, Joe's Casino.
Right.
At Underground Atlanta, and then Joe's Casino pays to bring in Lizzo and Michael Bublé and, all those people. And now you've got a destination peach drop. Gambling is not yet legal in the state of Georgia. I don't know if it ever will be, but that would be one way to do it. The only other thing, I get where you're going. If you make the peach drop a big thing, and if you go out and you bring in Lizzo and Ariana Grande and all those people, it's still not a lock that it's going to draw because New Year's Eve is like a really personal holiday.
Right.
A lot of people like doing their own thing.
True.
And that's not necessarily being out in public. Like Times Square, you could not pay me all the tea in China to be at Times Square for the ball drop.
Well, you got to be
a
day and a half, literally get your spot.
Exactly.
It's something you do when you're 16 or 17 or you're in from Iowa.
And then, you go watch the Today Show.
Right, you're that guy.
You go wave at Hoda. And then you go watch the ball drop, and I'm from Kankakee, Illinois. Look at me.
We're going to have a big thanks. We're going to do a New Year's Eve dinner at TGI Fridays there in the Times Square.
Mike, I think you're like me.
Right.
I like going to Echo on New Year's Eve or getting a really nice bottle of champagne and watching football at home. Right. And it's a little bit amateur hour on New Year's Eve. So
we rented a house up in the mountains with some friends 1 year. Get away from all of it.
Yeah. Get away from all of it. So I was being tongue-in-cheek at the beginning of the segment.
You guys sound like elitist.
Maybe I am. I'll own that.
Well, hold on, Mike,
you guys sound like elitist.
Carl, I will say this. When I'm down in Underground Atlanta for the peach drop, at least I know I can buy loose cigarettes.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, Lord. Well, I don't think those are for sale. Dan.
But Mike Conti, I'm with you on this. And listen, maybe it's an age thing, because as you get older, you want to celebrate differently. But I do think that there's enough culture and entertainment and youth in our city and the vibe of what's going on. There's a lot of people that do enjoy it. I'm with you, though.
And if you're just tuning in, the mayor today, the city announcing that they're going to take a time out on this and maybe come up with some alternatives, some other ideas. But I think, you know, in a city as large as ours, you should have something. You know, we're a top 10 city in America. There should be something. And, but the weather, I think also the cold weather, the rain, that's always going to kill it if it's bad.
100%. And look, you've got a major event every New Year's that's become bigger now that it's in the college football playoff, and that is the Peach Bowl. Make that the centerpiece and have a bigger Peach Bowl parade where you make that bigger.
Right.
You get Lizzo to perform on the float there. I don't know. or you do something in Centennial. Like, there are ways that you don't have to drop an 800-pound peach and you can make the holidays a little bit bigger. And I think you could tie it into the Peach Bowl. But I do support Mayor Bottoms on this. It is one less holiday tradition, but we still have the Pink Pig, okay? We still have that Christmas parade where the weather is always awful. Every year, set your watch to it. That weather for the Christmas parade is horrible. I think there's this perception that Atlanta, like, we get great weather 12 months a year. December in Atlanta,
it's bad.
Awful.
It's bad.
Like, hideous weather. All these Penn State fans are hitting me up. Wow, maybe we'll be in the playoff game in Atlanta on December 28th. Can't wait to be there.
Yeah, remember watching the Peach Bowl?
You don't want to necessarily tailgate
before Georgia Dome was built.
Oh, at Fulton County?
Oh, my God. It was a mud bowl.
Right? Every year. Yeah, it would be like NC State against West Virginia or Purdue, and they'd be playing in 12 inches of mud every year.
That's why you need an indoor stadium. Mike, here's your lady, Mike. Here she is.
I love it. Lizzo's the best.
All right,
love
man. It. Good stuff.
So I guess the consensus is let it die.
Would you stop? We'll see where the city goes with this. Hey, man, we got plenty more to get to. It's Dukes and Bell. When we come back, where did they get it wrong, and what's Kirby talking about? It's Dukes and Bell.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.